When you read these words from Luke's gospel today, to repent or perish, in other words, he's going to get a hold of you if you don't get something done right. I remember many years ago preaching from this text, and I made a comment about the tree not bearing fruit, which this was a fig tree. We're talking about an apple tree. And I remember Miss Billy Hamilton saying, if it didn't bear fruit in 3 years, if it was at her yard, it'd be cut down. So, you know, but the Lord told her to give it one more chance here. And the gardener said, let's just give it one more chance and let's see what it does. You know, I had some trees like that one time. They were supposed to be these wonderful trees that were going to just have the most wonderful apples on it. And they were the worst, sorriest apple trees I've ever had in my life. And that was one of those things. We gave them time. We gave them the years that they were supposed to have. We dug around them. We done all the things you were supposed to do. And they never did. We had two over here. It was the most beautiful trees you've ever seen. But those two were just pitiful. And one day my dad said, get rid of them things. He said, they're the worst things I ever seen. He said, they're just taking up space. Cut them down. And that's exactly what happened to them. They never produced. They never were faithful. They were never doing what God had put us here to do, is to make things a little better. Today, From Fear to Faith has been entitled this. In the midst of all the tragedies of life, faith teaches you and I to live for today, focused on the things over which we have control. There are only a few things we have control of, and we like to be in control of those. But faith teaches us to live just for today, focused on the things that we have control. We talked about Lent earlier, and Vicki even mentioned it this morning. Lent is the season when we as a church kind of grow quiet. It's a time when we're supposed to contemplate. We're supposed to sit back a little bit. Not just sit down and take it easy and forget, but we're supposed to kind of look within ourselves. It says we uncover and we take just a little bit closer look at ourselves and our assumptions. When we turn inward in the quiet of this season, we realize that we live our days with a persistent fear. And some people do live in a persistent fear more than others. Many fear that phone call that will come late at night, or a shocking headline in the morning paper, or the alert that comes across on your phones and you hear it. The news that comes on each day and we hear the things that have happened. There's all kinds of things going on. We hear those. This morning I heard, first thing, that somebody robbed the cupboard as you go into Fuquay this morning, an armed robbery. But no one was hurt, thank goodness. I don't know what they took. Lately, we've heard around us that two of the Walgreens have been broken into in Fuquay and Holly Springs at gunpoint. In the middle of the day, things were taken. It seems like people, we hear those headlines and we say, wow, what's happening to our world? What's happening to the things around us? We realize that we only have so much time. One author says that time is the joker in the deck of life. It not only marches on, but it finally marches right over us sometimes. In our scripture passage today from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is running out of time. He's running out of time as he walks the road towards Jerusalem. He's on a journey. He's on the last voyage. He's on the last trek of his mission, his ministry here on earth. He walks that road towards Jerusalem. But along the way, Jesus hears that some of his kinfolks, those Galileans, had their blood mingled with their sacrifices by Pilate. Now, Jesus knew too that day that 18 innocent people, whose only sin was that they were standing too close to the Tower of Siloam when it fell. Who sinned? Who is at fault? That's what people want to know. They'll say, well, I declare, you know, somebody did something wrong. Always Somebody's searching for what someone did wrong. Who sinned and who's at fault? At the deepest, we fear this answer. If all people who fall victim to such accidents are innocent, then it says that God is the guilty one then. But you see, Jesus felt no need to vindicate the ways of God. His Father, he says, is a loving God, that even if he and his disciples had been standing under the tower, it would have made no difference. But you see, our faith is not as strong as Jesus' faith. How should you and I respond in a world that we live in when the roof caves in, or the roof blows away, or the whole house is gone? What if the same happened to me and to those I love? What if we faced up to death? It says Jesus wants to teach us that the real enemy is our failure to live an intentional life. That the real enemy is within us all, that you and I fail to live an intentional life. It is a life that is inward and purposeful, that fills up today with meaning, that we have purpose, that we have meaning. Tomorrow is a dream, yesterday is a memory, it's history. But today is what you and I have right now, this moment. What are we doing? And what are we going to do about our lives? Twice Jesus makes the point, unless you repent, you will perish in the midst of an unexamined life. A life unexamined. Have you taken a look at yourself? Are you truly sure of who you are? Are you truly sure of who God is in your life? Have you examined your spirit, your soul? By bringing these things together, those disasters that happened with the mingling of the blood and those that were innocently killed when the tower fell, with the story of that last chance fig tree, it was had it one more chance. If it didn't produce, it was going to be gone. Jesus gives us a new twist on repentance. Gives us that last chance. He's always wanting us to win. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to be the best that we can be in everything that we do. He doesn't want us to fail, but He wants us to look at ourselves. He wants us to find the things that we can do, to share, to be good at, to share our lives with others, to share our story with someone else, to share that saving grace, that knowledge that comes by knowing Him with someone else. Usually when we think of repentance, we hear someone tell a story or give a testimony that will say, once I was like this, but now I'm like this. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was over here in the bottom, and now I'm over here at the top. But here today, we are coached to say something else. If we are a fig tree, we need to be a fig tree. If we're a fig tree, we need to produce fruit. We need to have figs on our tree. Not apples or oranges, but figs. It says, to repent means to be fully human and fully free. Fully human and fully free. The fact, perhaps, means that there are things we are not meant to understand. You know, that's the thing that most people get all upset about, is because they do not understand. They can't figure it out. It's not scientific. They can't put it in front of them. It's not mathematical. They can't solve the problem. They want to understand it. When they read the book, the story, they want to know what's going to happen. But the thing about it is, Jesus tells us what's going to happen. You know, if you don't repent, you're going to be left. If you don't repent, you're going to perish. He said, if you don't repent, things are going to happen. But the thing about it, along the way, is I'm not going to tell you how each day is going to turn out. Life is for living. Life is for making choices. Life is for doing those things that He's called us to do. We do not understand, and there's things that we're not meant to understand. It is a lifetime project to understand ourselves. How many of you learn new things all the time? I do. Sometimes it's not my choice. But to live in the world that we live in, you have to. I have a vehicle that talks to me. Drives me crazy sometimes. Really and truly, there's things that you think about. You know, it just blows people's mind. You walk in people's houses and they say, "Alexa, turn the music down. Alexa, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear so-and-so. Who's at the door?" I mean, just all kinds of things. Strange stuff. My sister has a thing on her phone that whenever she's anywhere she's at, that when somebody comes up to her door, it pops up on her phone that she can see who's at, and she can talk to them too. We learn things sometimes not because we always want to, because the world changes. Technology changes. The world around us all the time. We have to learn a few new things to live in the world that we are a part of. We don't have to accept it all, no, but we have to learn a little bit of it to be able to live. But we also have to think about what God is doing in our lives. And sometimes it's okay if we don't always understand. It's a lifetime project. From the day we are born until the day we die, we're still learning. It's an experience. Someone said the other day that, "Man, I hope I don't have to read another thing in my life." I said, "My goodness gracious, why not?" I said, "Don't you want to learn anything?" "Well, I've got books everywhere that I need to read. I've got stuff that's I've read pieces and parts of, and maybe one day I'll get to read it all. I don't know." But there's things that we want to learn. I like to learn. I like to continue to find out things and see what things are like. It says the source of serenity is simply this, that serenity prayer, to accept the things that we cannot change, to change the things that we can, and to hope somewhere along the way we have enough wisdom and faith to know the difference. Sometimes we try to change things that should not be changed. We want them to be changed because it would make our lives better. We're not worried about other people. We need to not try to change everything. Sometimes we need to accept things the way they are. Accept what we can change and accept what we cannot can change. And then have enough sense, as the old saying is, to know when we need to leave it alone. The key to a satisfied life is taking responsibility over the things that you and I can control and leaving the rest up to God. That's where faith comes in. Leaving the rest up to God. How many of us like to try to do God's job? I see a lot of people in here, and I know who you are. You need to go ahead and put the finger up. You like to say, "Okay, I need to leave this at the altar. I need to leave it to God. I need to leave it at the foot of the cross and leave it there. You need to let it go." Well, after a while, when you've let go of it and you're going along, and all of a sudden, God's not dealing with it in your mind as quick as you think he should, what do? You pick it right back up, and what happens then? You worry about it. Well, worry's no good. You try to deal with it. You try to fix it. And you know, some things just don't need fixing by you or me. We need to let it alone. We need to let God take care of it. And that's where our faith comes in. That's where we have to let go of that control that we all want and just give it to him. Leaving the rest up to God. In the face of violence and inconsistency in this life that you and I live every day, and in the life that Jesus was telling us about then, the people dying, Jesus was not concerned about past sin or righteousness, but only about present day responses. Like, what are you doing today? What are you doing today to make it right? If you've let go of yesterday, you need to let go of yesterday. You might have made a mistake. You say, "God, I'm sorry. I really messed up bad." Let go of it and keep moving. He says, let go of it. Leave it there. Leave it in the past. He's worried about us today and how we respond. For us and for the fig tree, there's still time to change and bear fruit. There's still time. For us to do something positive, for us to do something good, for us to be about who God has called us to be. Our prayer then becomes the prayer of the contented mother in Psalm 131, when she says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is within me. Today we need to ask this question. We need to talk to God. And I pray today that God lets us live. And we allow ourselves to live with souls that are calm and quiet, living responsibly each and every day. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you.